You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Take a seat. Right over there. Sat on the stairs. Say you leave. The cabinets are bare. And I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive. I know.
Now, normally, when Montana Man comes on, I would have Kid Rock on. In fact, but I had, like, I'm calling him. I'm trying to play Jack Nicholson. All right. And joining us, almost on cue, is Mr. Potato Head himself. Michael Musselman, what's up, why? Tex?
Why? Why do we have to start the day? Why can't we just start the day nice?
Like
hey, Gunner, how was your day?
Have I ever said that to you in my life?
Yeah, I think once or twice.
Maybe once. I was deathly ill. Joining us also today from the great state of Montana, where he's dealing with, what, 5-6 inches of snow? Is young Robbie Schwarz. What's up, Rob?
Yeah. No, that snow's melting off pretty good right now. It's turning out
Robbie
okay.
Schwarz. I like that.
Robbie?
That's my mom called me.
She called you Robbie?
Yeah. Well, my dad was Bob. So the family was, it was Little Robbie.
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm a fan of that one.
We had Uncle Robbie. There was a lot of them. So you kind of were designated by how you were hatched.
Little Robbie, did you ever graduate to like Rob? Or are you still like, hey, Little Robbie's here?
The cousins are all still Little Robbie.
Oh.
When I get that side of the family, yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you, monkeys, that I posted your pictures of your dip containers, on the website. I do a little blog thing where I just post like bullshit. So you guys have very different dip. Well, Rob, yours is just a cap, right?
Yeah, that's a sterling silver with a bronze engraved.
Yeah,
Eagle Globe and Anchor.
Now, was your wife trying to get out of the doghouse when she did that, or is that just she's a good person and got that because she loves you?
Well, she got it because she loves me. And it was Marine Corps birthday. I think that was 2010,
ooh,
somewhere in there.
No, it wasn't 10, because you were with us in 2010.
Yeah, but I think it came in the mail while we were in Afghanistan.
Oh, so you were away. That's why she got you such a nice gift, because if you were at home being your normal jackass self, you wouldn't have got
that.
You would
have that had worn off.
Yeah, you would not have got that. Mike, where'd you get yours? Yours is more like tactical. Like you're like...
Mine actually clips to the forward rail of a rifle. It's got a
lever
mount, but
I saw that.
It clips onto a rifle.
I think Gunner got me one of those at one point from God dang it, what's the name of that place?
LaRue
Tactical, yeah.
So
you lost it?
No, I think it's in a friggin' box somewhere in Idaho.
You know, let me tell you something. There's only two in the whole world.
Oh yeah,
I have one,
find it,
and you have the other. Those were custom made for us.
Well, I got to.
They
it
were.
Out.
Come on.
He also got me a like going away gift, retirement gift from LaRue Tactical. Got me a knife.
A nice
engraved
one.
Knife. Pretty, yeah, really nice one.
So let me ask a question about this tactical that's rail capable. Have you ever put it on a rail, Mike? Have you ever fired it?
Yeah,
a weapon?
I had it in Afghanistan.
And so your dip container was on a rail on your rifle. And does the caps lock to it somehow?
Screws on. It's watertight.
Ooh,
it's pretty badass. It's the real deal.
That's serious.
Yeah.
It's a man who needs. Let me tell you, I was looking for a picture to put up with this cap, And I found, I ran in, there's a couple of pictures. If you do a search on Marines dip, and I can't remember what's the other thing I wore. There's two pictures in particular. These Marines are ginormous, and it looks like it's in Fallujah. They have these two insurgents, flex cuff, and for whatever reason, both of them are leading them with their hand on the back of their neck bent over.
Oh, I've seen that picture. Run through the flex cuff behind them.
Right. Flex cuff behind them, with both of these dudes have huge dips in them.
Yeah.
And they're big boys, too. It's not like we, you know, like we found Billy Barty and we said, yeah, you're going to take this guy down to the DFAC or over to the DFAC pen over there. We're like, yo, where's Jethro? over here, sir. Yeah, Jethro, yoke his ass over there. But I wanted to have Robbie, little Robbie, on today. That's a gift. That's, come on.
I knew it was a gift. I knew I should just shut the hell up and not been honest.
Well, first of all, I got to tell you guys, you guys both dream? Mike, do you dream?
What are you talking about?
At night.
Do I dream?
Do you sleep? When you dream, do you sleep and do you remember your dreams?
Sometimes.
Little Robbie?
I used to not, and then about, I guess, a year ago, all of a sudden I just started, I remembered, like, all of them for a while.
Yeah, I just, in the last month, now I wake up and I remember my dreams. Last night, I'm in, like, a McNamara version of the movie San Andreas with The Rock, when Los Angeles is just crumbling. I'm in, like, a version of that. Okay, so I'm with my daughters, my ex-wife, and it's like we're in some kind of Long Beach kind of place, or maybe downtown San Diego where there's tall buildings, and beautiful day, and all of a sudden they just start falling down like sand. So I grab somebody's hand, and we take off running, right, for open pasture. We go around the corner, I turn around, and I've got my grandmother's hand. She's there all of a sudden. And then on the backside of my grandmother is nobody. And I look at my grandmother, and I said, where are they? And she's like, oh, Michael. Oh. And I grab my grandmother. I yoke my grandmother up. I yoke her up by her collar. I take both hands. I grab my grandmother's the nicest woman in the world. I yoke her ass up. And I said, the next time you lose them and you don't say anything, I'm going to snap you like a twig. Boom. And then all of a sudden, my dog. And I woke up. I'm like, yeah, I don't. That's when you're yoking your grandma up. I don't know.
Yeah, you need to feel bad all day, at least.
What
the hell, man?
I know. That's what I said, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in shock, man. You think you need help?
You think so? Is that a cry for help? You're yoking your... My grandma, like, she's like an angel. But she, hey, when you break the chain, and there's like...
This goes back to what I've been telling you. You've been angry lately, and this is probably... reason why is just your inner anger is like just boiling up.
Subconscious representation of it. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? That's what you two menses think? Let me tell you. I can tell you.
When was the last time you visited the therapist? Because you really ought to stop by.
See, listen to that.
Year ago.
Yeah. No, you better pick up the
right
phone.
There.
No, I'm a little bit aggravated in my life because the Red Sox got out of the gate too fast. Okay. That was not in the script for this year, boys, I got to tell you. And it's been a little bit of a burr in my saddle. So then I started dreaming in Technicolor. And then the Jack Russell got, I forgot, I thought he was in with my daughter. This number dash two, who's stupid and enthusiastic, he gets left in the studio. And at 2:30 in the morning, I'm like partially deaf like you guys, right? I'm 45 feet away. They're on the other side of the wall. He's in here annihilating the studio to include he's got species identity crisis and he thinks he's a beaver. He chews through the internet cable. And
what else did he get?
And I hear, he annihilated the garbage can, which was easy. But it was my fault. I thought he was in with my daughter. I didn't supervise myself and say. And so I hear him. They don't. They're sleeping right next door. I hear this noise. I'm like, what the hell? So now he's the happiest person on the planet because he thought he was dead. He knew that when I opened that door, yeah, I've threatened to kill his ass. Oh, this is... So now he's on the backside of that post-near-death experience euphoria. He's running around like, yeah, I did all that
shit. Kind of like Rudy was after his colonoscopy.
I don't know if he's that excited.
Yeah, Rudy was pretty friggin' excited after that.
Remember he was driving up to Tahoe or someplace, Big Bear, to go skiing? And he was just like, he was so excited. Mike was even that excited when he was, like the day Mike was talking about the coffee enema, and then you walked in and talked about using animal strength psyllium husk, and everybody's like, what did he just say? You guys were just, that was like matter of fact stuff. Rudy was like, yeah, man, I'd turn around and go back and have another one right now. That thing was awesome.
He talked about it for a week.
Yeah, he was. He lost his mind. Okay, the reason little Robbie's on today, Mike, is I'm sure you guys saw it, but part of and I don't want this to be a downer because it's happy day. At least when I saw the article, I was like, this is awesome, and I mean this sincerely. The article's in the New York Times. You can check it out on our website on the read board. The title of the headline is "Whole Again: A Veteran Maimed by an IED Receives a Transplanted Penis, Scrotum, and a Portion of His Abdominal Wall." Rob, you had the responsibility, in addition to supervising the chaplain, which you failed on, to go over to our surgical hospital when Marines got wounded, and to deal with this kind of stuff. Did you see that article yesterday and the fact that Johns Hopkins developed this kind of thing and that we've done it for one and there might be a few hundred guys who need this kind of surgery, something I never thought you could even do. Give me your thoughts on that as somebody who's had the I know Mike's been in there as well, but go ahead.
That's when guys would come in and have those kind of injuries, you know, above the knee type, usually at the knee, above the knee, the amputations, there's some kind of fragmentation to the abdomen, groin, and between me and then Colonel Furness, we were the ones that, you know, the first person they saw when they came into that cache was a Marine, and then we would talk to the doc after he gave him an initial look over, and then if he was conscious, we'd be able to tell him, you know, what's going on. And that was one of their first questions on those type of wounds. Will I be able to use my pecker again? And so it's a big deal. And when I read it, I was like, this is amazing. You know, I just thought the regular prosthetics were, pretty incredible.
Neat blend of slow release carbs to help minimize.
Hold on. I'm trying to shut something off that's exploding. Go ahead.
But that was one of their first thoughts is, you know, am I gonna still be a man type of thought. And something like this it's a big fucking deal.
I saw it and I was like, I did like happy dance. I like turned on what is that son of a bitches that Yeah, that like exploded in my head, that song right there. Because I won't identify the battalion commander that came by and wanted to thank everybody for helping out on this particular medevac. But, you know, and you hear it and you're like, shit, man, I hope it's not true. I hope it's not as bad as they think. But initially, I mean, Lance Corporals, they talk about this kind of shit. They've seen it, right? Or they've heard about it, somebody in another company in their battalion, you know, and they make an agreement like, hey, man, if I ever lose my junk, man, kill me. And you know, in their ignorance, they're like, yeah, no, yeah, you do the same for me. And when this happened, he's yelling at them, hey, man, kill me. You know, he's yelling and screaming at the doc to confirm or deny what he thinks. You know, and the doc's not saying anything. Just sit tight, man. It's cool. You know, it's not, you know, I don't know. And then he's reaching down there and he can't feel anything. And, you know, and then he's looking at his friend and say, hey, man, you said you'd kill me, kill me. And they're like, no. And then they're like, okay, hand me my rifle so I can kill myself. Now, if you can imagine that kind of shit in addition to seeing your friend in that condition, that's, you know, that's, that doesn't go away. And so I just, when I saw this story, that's why that music busted into my head. What an awesome, awesome day. And for him to see him, the quote, and he didn't allow his identity to be used for obvious reasons. But he says, I feel whole again. Mike, did you see the story and your thoughts about this?
No, I didn't see the story.
Yeah. But no, it's just,
I think it's great. I mean, but I don't know why they're making such a huge deal about it. I mean, it's a great story, but I don't understand.
You sound like somehow or other you... So what don't you understand? I think it's a great story.
I do, but I mean, I never personally heard anybody say, kill me if I lose my job. Usually when they got blown up, when they were coming to, the last thing they worried about is if any of their body parts were still there. They were so messed up, they didn't even know where they were.
So. Yeah, well, you, let me tell you, you're personal friends with the battalion commander, so.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, well, it was in the 11 Bravo block that happened, and it happened after they rotated battalions, which tells you who it is. If you were there. So anyway,
I know someone.
All right, so we'll change subjects because Mike he doesn't want to. All right.
I was on the phone with Joe Russell today. Do you know Joe?
I don't know Joe. Robbie, do you know Joe?
I don't.
He's now the chief over at One Map for Big Lou. We were talking, and then I don't think you know Joe. Maybe you do. I
know who I know. I don't know him. How do you know?
What does Joe Russell do?
Yeah, what does he do?
Oh, he's the chief of staff. So he was headquarters. He was headquarters battalion CO when we were over at division. You know, so he's at Margarita. Running headquarters battalion, and that's a zoo, man. Let me tell you, that's not a job I would wish on my worst enemy.
What do you mean?
Like, because that's a hodgepodge. I mean, you're kind of the CO, but you're not. You know, you're the CO. You're the commanding officer of the commanding general. It's like, okay, sure, you know, sure thing.
Yeah, it's like being the headquarters company commander on steroids.
No, look.
Yeah,
exactly
what it's like. A regimental headquarters. Those guys, that job sucks, man.
I was the op. I was the opso for that regimental headquarters company.
When we were over in Afghanistan.
No. MEF headquarters group, man. I was the opso for that fucking lash up.
Again, no names being used.
Right.
But our old company commander, young captain, full of vinegar and whatever the hell saying is, you know.
Piss.
He's all ready to go. Yeah. See, he was ready to go, man. He was ready, chomping at the bit. So we get to Afghanistan, he wants to do like this squad leader competition. And I'm like, is this guy insane? Doesn't he know that these kids are working 12 hours on, 12 hours off? You know? Everybody has a job except for him, of course. And then it was our great XO, who's on the phone right now, who gave him a job and sent him on his way.
Yeah. He needed something to do.
Yeah. Not to think of ideas, but we need to have Gunner. He'd come to my office. Gunner, what do you think about having a squad leader competition? It's like 6 days long and we have all this stuff in it. I'm like looking at
I think you came into my office and told me, hey, sir,
yeah,
can you find
he
something
to go,
guy
man.
Do?
Yeah, he needs a job. Seriously. He needs a job.
Russell's an Amtraker. That's why we don't know him.
Yeah. Oh, he's a great dude, though, man. You know how Amtrakers are.
They're not. When I think of Amtrakers, I don't think of them as great
infantry
people. No.
No, they are. There's some. Think about it. They
did
are.
You just
just
call
like,
them armored infantry?
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. You just stop it. Okay. I don't
with
know.
With all the lawn chairs and coolers, and I mean, they might as well be artillerymen, for Christ's sakes, the way they roll to the field.
They are the same. It is the same mindset.
Hey, excuse me there, Mike McNamara, former LAR guy.
That's not an Amtraker, though.
Oh, okay. You ride just as high. You got the same privileges.
Oh, so you're going to say that if you're an LAR guy, you're an Amtraker.
Just, yeah, it's the
no,
same thing.
No, bullshit.
When Amtrakers, officers in the beginning stages of LAR, they came from Amtraks, remember?
No.
They had to get them from somewhere.
No, what they did at first anyway was kind of interesting little concept. Was they brought in an Amtrak for every company? There was an Amtrak platoon commander, a tank platoon commander, and an infantry platoon commander. They thought that there was elements of all those skill sets would be a good mix.
Yeah.
But what it really was, it was a tank community and a track community trying to get their foot in the light armored infantry community so they would get more line members for
and
more.
That up.
Yeah,
right.
But the infantry boys.
Chuck started out as an Amtraker. Got to be an infantry commander in LAR, and then he commanded a regiment, an infantry regiment in battle. Who?
Mike Shupp.
Mike Shupp.
Oh.
He's an Amtraker.
RCT-1. He was a substitute, though. He wasn't supposed to do that. That was Nicholson's job, and then he got blown up.
What?
Yeah, Shupp was fill-in, man.
Yeah, but Shupp was supposed to go to 5th Marine. So he switched.
Unbelievable.
After Nicholson got hurt.
Unbelievable.
So he was command selected?
Yes.
As an Amtraker.
As an Amtraker to an infantry regiment. You guys didn't know that?
No.
No, that sounds like heresy.
Yeah, that sounds like who would do that?
Well, someone did. Some guys on a board.
Wouldn't you go back?
Know some people.
So you're an Amtraker. You split your time between Amtraks and then you go to LAR. When you go back as a company commander, you go back to Amtraks. Don't go to LAR.
No, he actually then he commanded an LAR battalion. So he did a company, did an LAR battalion. So then they must have thought he was a grunt. At that point, they're like, hey, this guy, I think he's a grunt. How do you know? Well, he commanded.
Well, usually that MOS on your master brief sheet at those.
Yeah, there's a number.
You don't just overlook that.
Yeah, there's a number there that is lines up with a job. Yeah. Napa Man just asked me about when I was one of his Marines was at MEF headquarters group when I was there. I won't say his name. He said, hey, do you remember him?
Oh, there's a.
Yeah, I do remember him. He falsified a WM's PFP score to hook her up so he could curry favor with her. Yeah, that's what I remember.
Oh, shit. That's the worst kind of Marine right there.
That's what I remember about Napa Man's contribution to the war effort over there. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah,
you're lying to get in good grace with a female Marine?
Yep, and you come back and, you know, you're going down the scores and then people saying, well, she doesn't have a dead hang time and she doesn't have a crunch number. D'Amico reported this. Hey, sir, we got a problem.
Well, that's like, do you guys ever run the PFT at Margarita?
Yeah. Hell yeah, man.
Okay,
no.
So you started at the football core. field down below.
It was old core. Yeah. And then,
well, you start out there, and then you run down that long road past the rifle range.
Right.
You make the right-hand turn.
Right.
And you run almost down to the pistol range and then turn around.
Right.
Well, okay, so all along the way there's trees, right? Like little bushes and trees, right? So these are in the days, you know, I was a pretty fast kid when I was young. I was a sergeant. You know, I stopped running 300 PFTs at Staff Sergeant when someone said,
it's still a first class no matter what, you know, to pee or an F on your fitness report. I don't know why you're trying so hard. And I was like,
you believe
oh,
that?
Shit, he's right. Yeah. Well, true. It was true back then. They didn't put your score down, you know? So I was like, son of a bitch. Okay. So, but
was
anyway.
This, wait a minute. Was this was, before? Was, that was after your car accident, though. Could you still run after your car accident, or did that jack you up?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I got faster. But so let me finish. So I'm running down there.
No,
and I'm
wait
like,
a minute. How did you get faster after the car accident? Normally that jacks people up.
It's like fucking Lee Majors. You know, he gets hit in the car, and now he's faster. He's stronger. He
Lee Majors pulled that one out of the sky.
You're the bionic man?
I didn't say that. I just said like Lee Majors. You're the one that did the comparison, but I'll take it.
You got faster after the car accident. All right. Okay. All
yeah,
right.
I got that little noise going through my head. He's going to run down the road.
So we're running down this road.
Running down the road.
Yeah, and as I make the turn, I'm like the second or third guy. I see the lead guy in front of me, this little Hispanic kid, and then my next guy, I forget his name because he was cool as shit, but he was a little Filipino Marine, and he was in my platoon. And this guy was fast, man. He was super fast. So they turn at their turnaround point, and they start heading back, and I do a turnaround point, and, you know, there's some sergeant there, the fat sergeant who's running the PFD for you, you know. So I round him, and he's yelling at the time. And so as I start coming back, all of a sudden I look, and now there's three Marines in front of me, but when there was two. And I'm like, what the hell? You know, like, did I miss something? So I pass this fool just as we're coming up to the soccer fields. You know, so I pass him, and I come in there, and I, you know, we finish, and I look back.
And the hill, just so you know, the hill's off to your right. You hang a left to go back to the it's a football.
Go back up the hill,
it's a football field, jackass. It's not a soccer field. What the hell?
That's a small football field.
No, it doesn't matter. It wasn't a soccer field, okay? Fifth Marines did not have a soccer field in 1984.
Well, it looked like a soccer field. Maybe it was a nine-man football team.
Maybe it was, okay? Because down in that bowl, that was a football field.
All right. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm looking at him as he comes across the line, and I'm like, where the fuck did he come from? You know, and he's like trying to act it off. Well, and this is like, you know, it gets warm down there in Margarita in the summer, right?
Yes.
You know, so I'm looking at my green T-shirt, and I got that sweat stain that goes like all the way down the center, and it starts to branch out, you know?
Yeah, but you're Italian. That's how you guys do it. You're like half Italian, half Mexican.
No, even the Filipino kid got the sweat stain. Everybody's got it except for this kid. And I'm like,
how come Asian people? How come Asian people never sweat?
He was Asian. He sweated.
He was sweating, and he was Asian. Interesting.
He's
okay,
Filipino.
Keep going. So, what nationality is the non-sweater?
So, like an all-American white kid.
Yeah, he's
like from North Dakota. Yeah,
he's a sweater.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, where did you come from? You know, I don't remember seeing you in front of me." He said, oh, and like crazy, like, oh, I was tying my shoe. What? You know, what do you mean you're tying your shoe? Well, come to find out, he was hiding in the bushes. And as the second guy came by, he jumps out because someone saw him. And that person, when they finally crossed the finish line, you know, they come up and they're like, where's Henry? And they're like, he's over there. You goddamn cheater, man. I saw you come out of the bushes, dude. You know? Give it, what are you talking about? No, I didn't, you know, so yeah, I was so pissed, man. It was like, wait a second, you're going to try and rob me from my run?
So here's the question. So did you turn him in?
Shit, no, well, the other guy did. I mean, I didn't witness him, but I just don't remember him being in front of me. It was like, where did this guy, I mean, cause you know, when you do the turnaround point, there's one and there's two, and then you do the turnaround, and it's, as I come around that bend, to the left again by the left orange.
Yeah.
There's now three in front of me. And I'm like, what?
But you didn't snitch. You didn't tell. Would you have told on him?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Oh, you would have. All right.
Yeah. I don't play that.
I thought it was an enlisted thing. We don't snitch on each other.
Well, you don't unless it affects like the unit cohesion, the good order and discipline. You don't snitch it like you see your buddy sneaking in some horno hog into your room.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't snitch.
You don't snitch.
No, you don't snitch for that. But if it's anything else, yeah, then you snitch.
Okay. Do you snitch if you're deployed to a combat zone and you hear noise like somebody's having sex inside a port-a-john? Do you snitch?
No.
You don't pound on the door, ask what's going on in there, and snitch?
No, why? Let them have fun. Why do you got to be a jackass?
Okay, if you're an, does it change if you're an officer?
Yes.
So if you're an officer and you hear those, and you hear this moan come out of, coming out of a shit, or,
No, it depends on who the person is. If it's some of our friends that eat a lot, it could just be passing something.
So would you knock on the door? Would you knock on the door and inquire what's going on? What's going on in there?
Well, we used to do that all the time, right? We'd knock on the door and say, "Hey, good luck with that, man. If you need help, I'll put a stick outside."
Okay.
Beat it in submission.
Okay, then what would you do if you heard "thank you" come through the door?
Then I'd be like, "Mickey Mouse, you're in country."
So with my best feminine voice, this is my Mickey Mouse. Hello, everybody. This is Mickey Mouse.
That's
if we just work hard together and we all try really hard, we can do this better. We can do it together. Let's go. Everybody get in a downward dog position. That's my Mickey Mouse position.
Yeah. What? That sounded just like the hello on the knock on the porter shutter, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I said. Simulate the thank you is from a female voice, okay? And it sounds pretty sexy. You're now a commissioned officer of the Pineapple Tribe, okay, in this contingency. So as a Pineapalian, do you stop, okay? As a Pineapalian, do you stop and go back and bang on the door and say, what's going on in there? General order number one, no porn, no booze, and no sex. And if I'm not getting any of that shit, nobody else is either. Do you do that?
If I could, yeah, I don't know. If I knew without a doubt that, yeah, there was two people from, separate sides of the sexual genders.
Oh, now we're just going to get into stereotypes.
I would tip it.
And would you, at that point,
so
would you
come
wait
out
for them?
Blue.
would you wait for them to come out and then, like, get them, flex cuff them and take them to somebody? Or would you just walk away thinking?
There's their punishment.
Their punishment. All right. Little Robbie, how would you handle that?
Just friggin' open the door. I'm not going to let them finish. Get your ass out here and get out here now.
So he's,
well, if they're blue, they're not going to finish either.
So he's, you never know. It depends how fired up he is. Like, it's all right, baby, come here. What happened? I don't know. Come on over here. I don't know. I don't know that I interrupt that. It's like, why? What's the point? Like, why do I care?
It's not why you care. It's for the good order and discipline of the Marine Corps.
Exactly.
greater than you.
It's for the greater. Yeah. It's for the greater good that he doesn't get lucky in this god awful situation that
we're in. That's not what it's about.
What's it about?
It's about, again, good order and discipline.
I don't know. I think good order and discipline has its limits. Okay. There's nothing disorderly or undisciplined about that.
When do you just stop? What rules do you pick to follow and pick not to follow?
Well, that's a good question, because we all do it. We all do it.
Do what?
We all pick and choose.
That's not true.
No, I don't.
Okay. Mike Musselman saying that he doesn't pick and choose. I don't know where the biggest statue of Pinocchio is, but that nose just went whoop,
Like, what would be one instance that you think I should choose?
If
he was going to pick and choose a rule not to follow, he would announce it, declare the rule is stupid, therefore he is not following
right.
it. And he'd tell
exactly.
everybody around
yeah.
that he's doing it. He wouldn't try and be sneaky about
right.
it, like this Portageon incident.
No. I would just say, like he said, I would say, I Gunner Mike Musselman, declare this rule null and void for these reasons.
And whoever made the rule,
okay.
he'd probably try and track them down again.
Okay,
get
now,
it.
Let me just ask you something.
That's a little different than just picking and choosing
yeah.
general number, order number one.
Okay.
I never.
What parts of it you like.
Okay,
hold on. Did that, when Mike just said that, did that sound like he just thought that up? That rolled off his tongue like that's been rolling off his tongue since he was 11. Okay? This is why I'm not going to follow it, and this is why it doesn't apply to me, and this is why it makes sense. Okay, let's drive on. That rolls off his tongue like he says it every night in a Shakespearean play. You want to know why? Because that's how the egocentric world works. It's where I am. It's what I believe. And I ain't. And if it doesn't make sense to me, I am sure as hell not doing it. Right? It's why he stole everything that State Department. And we could also. That wasn't right. Tell me that was right. It was wrong.
It was wrong in some instances, but oh so right in others. Just the vengeful part of it was
says who
spot on.
Says who? That's your right adjusting it to the way you see it, and that's not what we're talking about. And so you two ass clowns trying to play this. Oh,
I made him a better person.
There you go. And it's always the case. No, I get it. I don't know that I would intervene in the sex inside the shitter. And I would think I would just keep walking. I would just think, God bless him, man. Everybody. Now, if somebody was under duress, I certainly like bust into that shitter and, you know, get to the bottom of it. But if I just.
With all of the other places, I doubt that there was a lot of stuff going on in the shitter.
Yeah. Well, this is another friend of ours. Who's a logistics type who you have great respect for and was just recently out on the West Coast. Intervened. Yeah. Door kicked the shitter.
What?
Yeah, intervened.
Good. No, I've just seen too much. And this was on shit.
That's what I said.
I mean,
what?
That contributing to the, you know,
ship.
Lack of good order and discipline.
I agree. Ship, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
On a ship, you would intervene immediately, if not sooner.
And that, in one of those instances, we had two crypto linguists in the Mew and got ashore in Iraq, and one of them turns up pregnant. Now I got one crypto linguist to work with. That shit doesn't work. So I had just an operational stance. You know, forget good order and discipline. Now I'm short linguist. And you know how short we were on them.
Yeah, you were born short of linguists and you needed them all the time. So that was not,
yeah.
Especially in the world of crypto.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you just like get another one of those. She couldn't stay if she was pregnant?
No.
No.
Like how many? She's just doing crypto. Come on. Where were you? What Mew were you? Where were you? Where were you mewing?
We were 13th Mew and Al Assad.
Really? That's like being in Kadena. Like she can't hang out there for a few months while we get a replacement. She's pregnant. She got to go home. Like she didn't know that one. All right. Email. Are you guys making this stuff up? Boys, are we making this
up? No. Making what up?
Gutter makes a lot of stuff up. I'm not going to lie to you. He made up Napa Man wearing the pink Uggs. I almost endorsed
that.
No,
I didn't say pink. You just made that up.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it was just the pink part that was made up. I thought the Uggs was...
No.
I mean,
no,
with a guy that's got wheels on a truck that size, that are that small, you got to figure... He's wearing Uggs? Yeah, I can... That's not a far reach.
Well, you know what? Again, and he surfs. And surfers have their own little dress code, right? They wear weird clothes. And so when Mike said it, I was like, well, that's not out of... But he just made that up. So.
And he's concerned about his hair.
Well,
so he's a hair product guy. So
I did,
that's an ugly.
I did catch him tanning in Afghanistan.
That's true.
What?
Yeah.
You knew that.
Yeah. Don't you remember? I used to call him Fabio.
I didn't know we caught him tanning. You guys didn't let me know that.
No. It's not like we kept secrets. Oh, if you had heard me call him Fabio, if you had heard me call him Fabio, you would have said you just must have never heard it. Coincidence. You must I come walking up from doing something outside, and he's outside like with his face pointed towards the sky, and so I look up like, is there something up there? Is there like, yeah, is there something up there that's not supposed to be up there? We tend not to get attacked from the sky, but you never know, because he's a smart guy. You know, he's went right to a school of higher learning. He's a smart guy. And so I look up. I don't see anything. And I look at him. I'm like, are you tanning? And he, like, looks at me and goes, my wife, I won't say her name. She'll remain nameless. Told me I look really pale. I'm like, what? So you're tanning? Like, have you lost your mind? And he's like, no. Yeah, tanning, Mike. Here's an email entitled, The Gunner. Mac, Jesus, the gunner is priceless. The bullshit that emanates from him is awesome. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's from David. All right? Yeah, he's a gift. He's a gift. All you have to do is, like, open the door and say, hey, Gunner's here. And then the calliope music gets going. Because the carnival starts. It's awesome. And
that's right. I'm not. Hey, okay. You're right.
There it is.
And then the best part is when other ass clowns start walking in, and Mike starts his little, he goes on his little field day. Here's another. Mac, I just saw both dip covers. Where does one get either one of them? Little Robbie, where do you get yours?
That is made by Montana Silversmith, I believe.
Montana Silversmith.
They are.
If you go to their website,
and you can still buy them on there, yep.
Oh, man, look at the Mike. Mike, kind of our Amazon QA guy. Mike, and what website
is what does he do, a Hulu? What's the thing he's doing now?
Who?
Trivago, the Gunner.
Gunner's doing Trivago? Oh, no,
Trivago?
No, what do you write your reviews on? He's a weirdo. What do you, Yelp? Yelp.
Yelp. Yelp. He's a Yelper.
He's
Gunner would know that.
He's a platinum member of Yelp.
Yes. So how often do you Yelp? Like every day when you go to lunch with Buck in the crowd, do you write a review?
No, not as much as I used to, but every now and then.
So what makes you Yelp? Is it good service or bad service that makes you want to write something? Or how do you...
Both.
Both will make you, galvanize you to run home and get on your computer and start typing away?
No, I got it on my phone. I just like...
Oh, you just...
It right there.
Really? Yeah. He's a Yelp guy. Mike, where...
And they know I'm in there. They're like... Hey, look, there's a guy right there. He's a Yelper. He's a well-known Yelper. Let's give him a good service.
How can you tell? You can always tell by the way they're dressed, those Yelpers. What about your little Copenhagen rail system? Where do you dip rail system? What website did you say that it was on?
You can't. You can't get those.
What?
That's the LaRue Tactical.
Yeah.
Deal.
So, I mean, like, they made two of them and they threw it all away because nobody else would buy this shit? Are you crazy?
No. No, he just made it for me, and then that was it.
What's the name of the company?
LaRue Tactical.
LaRue Tactical.
L-A-R-U-E?
Yeah.
LaRue Tactical. Okay. Oh, here it is.
Oh, hey, Gunner, I got a question for you.
Oh, here we go.
AR-10 purchase coming up. Looking at the... What caliber? I was kind of looking at 360 Remington.
Yeah, you know what? Or get the 224 Valkyrie. That's the new hottest. That's cool round.
You're the second person that told me that.
Yeah, I'm going to get a 224 Valkyrie pretty soon.
Is that on an AR-10 platform or a 15?
It's on a 15.
No. Well, I'm going to get, I got a 15 lower, so I can just get the upper.
Then get the,
but I'm going to
get the 260 then, and then get a two, get both, get a two, just get the two uppers. The 260 then.
Well, I don't have an AR-10 lower. 24. So I got to get the lower.
Oh.
All right, you just open
yeah,
the 224 a little wider.
New hottest thing, man.
Yeah, I just looked at that, round last week, the guy at the local gun shop. I was talking to him about it. He said, oh, check this out. And he pulled it out of the box. I was like, that's pretty sweet. But I got a 22
yeah.
Nosler, too, so upper for that. So I hate to get too close. 22 Nosler that came out last year before.
Right.
Good, bad, Mike. So, Mike, you don't sound enthusiastic about it.
No, that's a great setup, too. Yeah. I'm trying to see.
Yeah,
if
they're new.
I'm
shooting okay, but
wait, say that again.
Oh, I was trying to see if he had these mounts anymore, but I don't think he does.
What mounts? You mean the
The Copenhagen mounts?
You know what? I'm looking on the website, and I don't see it. I searched the website, and the reason I say that is this. That thing's cool as hell. And
yeah.
And you would sell, I would think you would sell a ton of those.
He did it just for, you know,
that thing would, that thing could go on your battle mug, on the rail on your battle mug, and then you'd be set. You'd have your coffee and your snacks all right there in hand, man.
Cool, dude.
I gotta go find mine, because that's gonna happen.
The battle mug. The battle mug, Napa Man just weighed in. He said that he would tip the shitter over.
Oh, he would?
I think I keep walking. I put my headset in and I just keep going like nothing to see here, boys. Nothing to see here. I'll tell you what. It depends. Like, if I was with Mike, we would straight up throw the door open. No doubt about it.
That would be more for amusement purposes.
That would be absolutely. If I'm by myself, it depends on what kind of mood I'm in. Because I could see myself, right, get the tactical flashlight out, and if I'm in the right mood. But if I was with somebody, it would be a straight up shit show. Like, if Mike and I were walking and be like, shh. Be like, what? Did you hear that? And all of a sudden you hear this, this guttural sound like, oh, hell no. Right? If we're not doing that, then nobody's doing that. All right, turn your light on. I'll yank the door open. And then we'll just yell. Right? Go, boom, hey, what are you doing? Oh, oh my God. And then you're
get on your face.
And then you look, it's not like you wouldn't know the person in there. You're like, Staff Sergeant? Hey, sir. Hey, wait a minute. Put that away, okay? Do something. What the hell? you're both in trouble. Now see that I would do. But if I was by myself and I was in a serious mood, I might just say, I'm not, come on. Anyway. Just a thought. Another email. You're making this stuff up. There's no way. No. You know, I will tell you this, though. I'm really surprised. And even if you look online, if you do a search under tobacco dip container rail system tactical, you don't find anything.
I think the battle mug guys ought to start making that accessory to go on their mug. That's because when you put on the gun, I remember putting it on the rail and going, where the hell do you put this thing to keep it out of the way and still have your rifle functional where it's not in the way? Because it's not a small device to slap on your rail.
Right. But it's not heavy, though, right? It's not like it's
heavy. It's just awkward to put on there.
Right.
No, I carried it. That was like my spare can of Copenhagen in case shit got really real.
Really real.
Really real.
Shit got really real. So that was your reserve. That was your backup.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. I mean, because you don't know what's going to happen. You might have to dump all your gear, you know, get across water. There goes the can of Copenhagen. You've been sitting in the water. But you're never going to drop your weapon. You know, I'm going to have magazines in my freaking cargo pocket before I drop all that. Doing the E&E. And then as you get through your E&E process, you take that dip of Copenhagen, and it's just like, whoa, real. It's really real, boys. It reminds you what keep fighting for.
Dip. What, could you,
dip. American dip.
Email.
Now I'm building that 260 upper on the LaRue page.
Oh, you are.
There you go.
Here's an email.
That's a good upper, man.
Max, since both your guests dip, ask them how quick the buzz goes through an entire division when somebody gets a log of Copenhagen.
Well, it depends. If you're on Dwyer, it wasn't a big deal just because, you know, yeah. They had the friggin' PX there.
It's everywhere.
When we were in Somalia, before they had a mobile PX, I mean, they had Copenhagen sent a guy a case. So that was the 10 log rolls back in the day. And I think there was there had to be like 25 freaking rolls. So do the math on that. 250 cans of snuff. Everybody knew it. And he'd give one away here and there. And then he started selling it. And it was like, all right, that's it. Can't do that.
Yeah,
that's
a samurai violation.
That is a violation. Yep.
Now we have to take it from you. We didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
You see, this is like, I can hear this coming right out of Mike's mouth, even though it's coming out of mine. Because great minds think alike. I didn't want to take this from you and beat your ass. But when you started selling it, you forced me to do this because this will make you a better person because you have to learn. Okay, boys, here you go.
Yeah. It's Christmas.
Don't do
that. That was the same time frame my dad and my girlfriend decided it would be good for me to quit dipping.
Oh, shit. What?
Oh, yeah. Because that was when you could only get it in the mail.
Deployed?
Yeah. That was in Somalia, early in Somalia.
Your dad?
And I'm like, hey, you know, sending letters. It's not like you had a phone and you got, you know, once a week you got to get on the ham's radio to make a phone call. Ugh. I got on there and I called my girlfriend and said, hey, where is the snuff? Well, your dad and I thought it would be a good idea for you to quit.
Oh, hell
no. No, no,
no.
This is not the time for that.
For good ideas. No. Cease all good idea manufacturing at this
just
moment.
Just execute
now.
The orders as given at this point.
Yes.
No thinking on your end. Just
if you decide, if you decide to free thought again, I will remove your brain.
Especially while I'm deployed.
You've got a platoon commander roaming around trying to bone dip from everybody. But
well,
they did come up with that. They had that little semi-truck that would show up every once in a while, like once a week.
Little semi-truck? Was it Somali or was it a Somali?
No,
it's
a truck.
It takes
AC's truck.
What?
But then they were never, I mean, and of course you're an officer, so all the Marines go first, and by the time you get there, all the freaking snuff is gone.
Yeah. You would think the Somalis, I mean, they know how to make money off that deal, like within 15 minutes of you going ashore and them greeting you. Hey, welcome to Somalia. Would you like to buy my sister? Would you like to buy a car? Would you like to buy? No, man, we're good. Go away with that. Here's another email. Mac, I don't want to be identified as somebody who's cataloging the gunner's spin on this program. However, doesn't he tell a story where he didn't attend a Marine Corps ball in a foreign country because he got drunk and wound up being with very attractive girls? Isn't that a gunner story? I do believe.
Models. Argentinian models. They weren't very attractive girls. They were Argentine models.
I don't believe that's the way we draw it up. I believe his appointed place of duty was the Marine Corps birthday ball.
And you were Lance
you guys can say
Cooley
this.
At that point, weren't you?
No, I was a sergeant.
Oh, even as a sergeant, he's just deciding on his own. I'm making a judgment call here, folks. My appointed place of duty is the ball, but?
But? Listen, it was two of the three sergeant of guards on the ship. The other sergeant of guard was actually on the ship on duty. So me and Mo decided, you know what? we are just going to take, her name was Shanina, and I forget the other one, these two models, because they wanted to hang out with us. Boys, I'm sorry. Man, well, because we were taking a shortcut in our blues, and we came through town, and they were doing a shoot, and it was like, wow. And they were like on us, and we were talking to them.
Hey, let me tell you this. Okay, little Robbie, this has all the elements of, the only thing that Mike didn't start this with was, this is a no-shitter. So we're on our way to the ball, right? We got the third sergeant guard on the ship, and as soon as he says, we take a shortcut. Now you know, like, this is like a total no-shitter, right? Let it go, boys. So you never even set foot in the ball.
No, we never made it right there. No. I think what we ended up doing was we ran back to the ship and changed into a civilian attire and then met with these girls and then went back to their place. And then that's the next morning, I tell you that, because we were leaving the next day. We were leaving, and I tell you the story of we were going to the boat, and the boat was gone.
And you don't make up your own rules. You're so full of shit.
No, okay.
It's called missing movement, man. How are you still out? How did you stay in the military?
Listen, Captain Smith, and he was our CO on the ship. I forget our lieutenant's name, but the lieutenant's cool too.
Well, no. He was the detachment CO, not the ship CO, right?
Right, the detachment CO.
Got it.
We showed him pictures, because he was the same way. Like, where were you two assholes? And we're like, sir, look. Let words.
There's extenuating circumstances.
1,000 words, right? Right?
Right.
He looked at the pictures, and his comment probably, it was similar to, I would not even show up my own mom's funeral for that. Okay, good job.
Come on. So you got,
oh, dude, no.
You got out of being, it was, being UA and missing movement based on the looks.
So missing movement, the ship left.
Yes.
But it left for bad weather, but it was going to come back. Oh. But we were, like, so, like, out of it, we thought it had actually left. So when we got down to the pier, the chief, there was, like, maybe 30, 40 Navy people waiting to go, and there was a chief there, and he's like, don't go anywhere, the boat could be back any time.
Wait, you're in your dress blues still?
No, we're in our civilian attire. We went back and changed.
Oh, okay.
Before the ship left. All
right.
Like, before we went to the ball. Like, after we met these girls, we were like, yeah, get out of blues. So we went back. Well, we were sitting on the pier, and I remember the chief or whatever, the senior guy there, and he said, don't go anywhere. Ship's going to be back. You know? And we're like, yeah, right. I mean, the sea state was ridiculous. So we were kind of like, you know what? They don't live far. Let's leave. So we left the pier again. And we kept an eye on the weather, and we kept looking out into the bay to see if the ship would come. So the ship didn't come. Next morning, we got up. We saw the ship coming in, so we ran our asses down to the pier. And all those dumb squids that sat on the pier, they slept on the damn pier. They didn't leave. And like, so I remember some Navy guys, we come walking back in, of course, and you know, you're like, oh, shit, what a rough night.
Well, no, like, wait a minute. All these dumb squids. Your appointed place of duty is on that ship. It's gone to sea. Okay, only the criminal element thinks, well, fuck this. Let's go see if we can hit it again, boys. Let's go later. And then comes back and says, these dumb squids. That's a criminal.
Yeah, because they didn't leave.
Because he got away with it.
They just stayed on the ship. No, they stayed on the pier. They just slept on the pier.
I know.
What are you guys doing?
Because that's their appointed place of duty. It's not.
No, my appointed place of duty is not there. It's on the ship.
And so if the ship's not there, then it's up to you to use your discretion on where the best place for you to be.
I was the senior Marine on the scene.
Senior Marine is making the decision.
There's only two of us.
That makes you the
Marine detachment. The Marine detachment show is officially going over to these two model pals.
Well, no, it's called the On Scene, right? Navy, the On Scene Commander.
Navy
right?
cannot give you.
There you go.
Navy cannot give you orders when you're ashore as a U.S. Marine.
You're not part of the landing force, Jackass. That's the Cliff and the Cadiff, okay? But I can see it. I can see it all coming together here. I am commander of the landing force. You would be commander of the amphibious task force. Once we're ashore, we're feet dry.
The Cadiff and the Cliff responsibility. Yeah.
You don't have shit to say to me now, Chief. Son.
Yeah. You can't give me orders, Chief. I'm the landing force that's now been ashore.
Yeah.
You were responsible up to the waterline.
Yeah, and let me tell you, and this same human being had the unmitigated gall like 20 minutes ago to say, the rules are the rules. And this is just one adventure in his life. Trust me, you could fill a volume of
books. As a sergeant.
As a sergeant.
Get worse. Once
he becomes a Penelopean, that's where you get the story of do you know who the fuck I am in Kuwait? That story's not one bit embellished. If anything, we don't know all the drama involved in it. Do you know who the fuck I am? It's like, I know you got that crazy pineapple shit on your collar. I don't know what the fuck you are.
Dude, that pineapple thing on my collar confused so many people. That bursting bomb? There were two.
And you knew it, and you exploded it.
An Air Force colonel was sitting in this table. We were at, the Marsh building or something. We were all sitting around. Mm. And just for the meeting stat, I said, is anybody sitting here? And he looks at me, and he goes, what rank are you? And I said, I outrank you, colonel. And he jumped right up. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to. And everybody's like, and I'm like, no, colonel, I'm just kidding. I'm a Chief 105. But the way he jumped right up, he was like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, go in there. You know? And then since everybody's laughing about it, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, he wasn't being a dick about it. I could tell he was like, this son of a bitch, I'm going to get even with him one day. But people didn't know. They look at that and they're like, confused. You know?
Shit.
And if you said it with confidence.
That's the whole
point. They would be like, oh, shit, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
I'll bring the car around, sir.
Yeah.
Am I right? Yeah.
No, well, let me tell you. And again, so Mike goes on leave, and you're essentially gone. It's about, 5 days to get home, 5 days to get back, like 4 or 5 days.
No, it's not that long,
Not very. I mean, by the time you
feels
get there,
like it.
Yeah, it feels like it. So, and then you're home for 2 weeks. So you're gone for the better part of a month. Okay, Mike's been gone for maybe 48 hours, and people are coming back saying, "Hey, man, did you hear about Gunnar Musselman in Kuwait?" And like, what? Oh, he fucked that place up when he went through. What did he do? I don't know. All I heard was stories he was yelling at people, saying, do you know who the fuck I am? Now, not that many people can get away with that line, honestly.
No. It started at Kandahar. the whole Ashtuin stuff started at Kandahar. Because when you land, it's the army. They're all trying to get you out, and they're, in charge of it. But they don't show up at the right time. And then they get roll call. We're all standing out there. It's 50, 60 people. And they're taking roll call, and it starts to rain, and I'm like, hey, so that's when I walked up and I said, hey, since you guys don't go to the field, you don't know what it's like, and you think this is combat, standing here in the rain, why don't we go indoors and take this roll call, get these guys out of the rain? Well, sir, we can't go indoors until I know how many people are here. Who said that? What rule is that? Does that even make sense to you? It's an empty building. We can't go indoors until you have the total number, and you can't get that number until we're in, until what? You can't get it indoors? The number changes? It's confusing to you? After all that shit, then they were like, man, this guy's being a dick. We'll go inside. But then that's when all the other guys were like, hey, finally, someone's speaking up. But then every time, and then my punishment was because I was being a jackass to these Army guys.
No, there's
when
a,
they call
there's,
out who's
there's
going out on the first flight, you know, they say, hey, these are the first people going out today are these people. They call everybody but my name and some other people, but
what?
I, especially me. Yeah, I wasn't scheduled, right? I wasn't on the schedule. So I'm thinking, son of a bitch, Rudy Metro, man, they got me. So,
oh, you mean you thought they?
No,
hooked,
trying to find
you,
out.
You thought they hooked you?
I thought they got me. Like they, you know, because it's all this process, the paperwork to go on R&R. Your name has to be submitted. You just
right.
don't show up, right?
Right, right. right. But Rudy
so
and Metro, they would never. They would never screw you over. If anything, they would help you, right?
I know. Right. So, but I know that's when I realized these guys are screwing me over because I, you know, I embarrassed them. So just then, this other Marine goes, sir, you can have my spot because this is my best buddy. We're going back together. He's not going back today either. So I'll go with him tomorrow. You take my spot. The Army guy says, we can't do that. What are you talking about? What do you mean? This is, you know, even TSA, how screwed up they are, they can do this shit. You know, they can make magic work like that. I mean, it's not, this ain't rocket scientists. You know, and so after some arguing, they're like, okay, sir, you go. So we got on the plane. That's when we flew into Kuwait. And then we land in Kuwait, and it's raining. And they're doing the same shit, you know. We're standing outside. Huge. You guys have been in there.
Yeah.
This huge open area or this place where everybody sits down. They can see, what, 200, 300 people in there?
Yeah.
Of all those individual chairs, right?
Yeah.
And then the big screen and then the desks all around. So I walk in there, and I'm like, all these people bullshit drinking sodas, you know, and they're like, ha, 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 ha. And meantime, there's 300 people standing outside in the rain. And so I walk in and I'm like, hey, what gifts? Can we come inside? Oh, sure, you can't come inside yet until such and such shows up. And I said, bullshit. I walk outside. Everybody inside. So they all come inside. And so this Army Staff Sergeant comes over. And
now
goes, who allowed these people to come inside? Yeah. Who allowed these guys to come inside? I did. Hey, Chief. Okay, call me Chief one more time, motherfucker. Well, no, he called me Chief, because that's what they do in the Army. I said, call me Chief one more time. I fucking dare you. I dare you.
This is the part of the story that we heard, okay? That they kept... Yeah. See, he's a Pinellopean, okay? He's a special breed. But his other rank insignia on the other side of the pineapple is a warrant officer, right? So they're trying to be... They don't know what the pineapple means. Nobody does, okay? It's a mysterious rank, okay? It's kind of like...
So they revert to the Army.
Yeah. And call
the
him,
Army calls their chief warrant officers Chief.
Chief. And so they call him Mike Chief. And so he's already on, like, nitroglycerin, okay? And now they start calling him Chief, and he's losing his shit. So that's the part we heard. It was like, damn, I wish I could be there. It's like, you know, it's like weird rank insignia. It's like the Marine Corps, in its infinite wisdom, has black insignia for enlisted on call. When you wear your green utilities, there's black digit pixels in it. And so you see a sergeant major walking up to you, and I used to love to do this shit. Hey, what's up, hard charger? Because you didn't know what fucking rank he was, right? This guy's been in the Marine Corps for 60 years, right? Older than dirt. Sorry, my eyes aren't that good. I don't know, you know. And they look at you, and they start laughing. I'm like, and then you see it like, hey, sergeant major, sorry about that. I don't know what the fuck to say to you.
Hey, devil dog.
Hey, devil dog, what's up? But you know what? The best part is that they would laugh. And then after I did it a couple times and I got over it, then I just, like, I'd bust out hard charger on them.
Well, this is the whole, and then it just gets worse because that's where we get the speech from this guy who's like a grandfather. I mean, shit, he is like 65 years old and he's a freaking specialist in the Army. You know, and he's talking about how he's been in the Army for 32 years. And I'm looking at him like, you're telling people this? You're a Spec 4. You're a specialist. You've been doing this for 32 years, and this is as far as you've got. And you're bragging about it.
He's proud, and he's pulling down the same combat pay and allowances that you are. So don't be an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. But he's a National Guardsman, and he goes to the school. He tells a story about himself for the first 20 minutes, and then he goes on, you know, this is the commanding officer. And that's when it started. Shows a picture of the female lieutenant colonel. This is the commanding officer. She wishes you welcome aboard to this compound, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm like, bullshit, man. That's not how I come from. You know, if you're a commanding officer, you suck it up and you come in here and you say good, you know, hey, welcome aboard in person, not have this goof clown do it.
So Michael Musselman, he proceeds to say, "I want him. Who's the CO of this shit?" And he proceeds to unfuck the United States Air Force in Kuwait. That's like it's like Sherman going through the sea. And then every time he gets pissed, somebody calls him chief. Hey, chief, settle down.
Yeah,
I'm not a chief.
Every time somebody says chief, I'm going nuts, man. I mean, I literally was. And then that's where they call out. They bring this, and it's not her fault. They bring this little 4'8" female Asian airman. She comes out to read the list. And she's got a microphone, or a loudspeaker thing, you know, the little megaphone, right? But no one ever tells her how to speak in it. So she's like this. She puts her mouth, like, right up in it, and she's like, you're like, what did you say? And then she puts it back up. No, get that thing out of your mouth and talk to me. I can't hear you. You don't know how to use this thing. And people are laughing, but she gets upset, so she cries, and she leaves. And she goes and tells people that I made her cry. And that's what started this whole thing of, you know, this guy, Marine, made me cry. He embarrassed me. No, and when I tried to explain to somebody, it was, I told her to get the thing out of her mouth because she couldn't use it. And all it was coming across was garbled, like, like the peanut teacher talking to you. And I was pissed. I was getting more pissed.
It doesn't.
No one knew what was going on. No one knew how you're getting out of there.
It doesn't sound like you were pissed. Like,
no,
it
doesn't at all.
Blood boiling. Yeah.
That place will.
And then when I finally met her, so I meet her finally. And I see her twice stuffing her face at McDonald's down this little main side area.
Hey, can I make a comment about some of the Air Force people that I saw in Kuwait? This is just me, and this is both genders, but there was more females than males. You got to go a ways to make a set of utilities look like spandex. I mean, you got to be big.
Oh, yeah, they all did, too.
Oh, yeah. Man. I was like, whoa.
And I couldn't believe that either. Like, who in their right mind thinks this is a good idea? You know? Who in their right mind thinks this is a good idea? But when I finally met the lieutenant colonel, we're in her office, and she wants to play. Like, I'm not mad at her. I just want to talk to her and give her my, you know, hey. And so she plays right off the bat. She goes around her desk.
Ooh.
She sits down and she's like, wants to take command of the situation. She's like, I've heard reports against you, chief. And, and I finally, I mean, I'm sitting there just looking down at the floor, shaking my head. And I said, hey, Lieutenant Colonel, time out. Just relax. First of all, this is bullshit, all right?
Hold on. Did you walk around and sit in her chair? Because that's one of your other moves. That's one of your other signatures.
No, she was already sitting in it.
I thought she came around the desk to sit next to you to make you feel like you were more equal.
No, that's what I did with my counselor.
Okay. All right, keep going.
But
continue.
I wouldn't do that. She was already in it. But, yeah, and so when I said, just time out, I said, hey, listen, I would have. First of all, you're anonymous box to put quotes in or comments in there is broken. You can't put anything in there. So second, you know, I had tried to contact you right off the bat because you said you should have contacted me right off the bat when it's due to have these problems. I tried. You weren't here. I was told you were in a meeting. And then when I left here and walking down, I saw you at McDonald's eating, you know, a cheeseburger, you know, in your meeting. So, you know, and that's when I just started going out. I mean, just started losing it. And then I told her, you know, hey, where I come from, leaders, people in position like yourself, they put themselves in position and they welcome, you know, so that night when we got here, it would have been nice to see your face. And then you came and said, if you have any concerns or anything, not have somebody say it for you because it means nothing. And I noticed now it doesn't mean anything to you. You know, you just say it.
That hurts.
You know, this is a tough job, and that's what we got. That's
she didn't say
this is
that.
A tough job, and
you're making that shit
well,
up.
Yeah, they do it for 2 years, dude. That's a post for 2 years for them, and I get it.
She told you that this is a tough job?
Yeah, all sorts of shit. I mean, we got to be friends.
What?
We're buddies. She appreciated my candidness. She appreciated everything that I said, you know?
That's a jerk.
And, I mean,
made her cry.
I'm lucky I should have got orders there to have been her sergeant major or her gunner for the rest of the time.
Mike, you could have been her CO because they wouldn't know what fucking rank the Penelope
was. Could you imagine?
Yeah.
Coming through there and me being in charge of that.
Yeah, you'd be like Oddball in the movie Kelly's Heroes. Like, who is this guy?
I would have welcomed every one of you guys.
He showed up and he just stayed.
Shut up, ass clown.
He's a general. No, he's not.
Sit down and shut up, ass clowns. This is how it's going to go in my camp. I'm renaming this camp as of today. Camp Gunner.
Camp Muscleman.
And these are the rules in Camp Gunner.
Camp Muscleman.
No, Camp Gunner. And then for you making that comment, I would have, you're going right back there, Major. Get your ass back in that bus. We're flying your ass back to Dwyer. You're going to start all over again.
I just,
with that attitude. So.
I just canceled your leave.
roll your eyes again at me, Major. Roll them. I dare you
to, right? And then you know what I would have to do? I would have to invoke the law of eight. Yeah. From the postman. And then we'd have to fight in front of everybody. Just to, that's because that's how that shit would work.
Well, no, because the difference
work.
Is mine would have been like the law of eight from the postman's shit with, what's the name? It would have just been shoot this clown.
Exactly. I invoked the law of nine. Which one's that? Shoot his ass!
Yeah, movie over.
Movie over. That is, you know what? That's a great story. Hold on. I have a text. Let me see. Holy shit, Gunner. It's a one-man show. Mac, just step aside. Trust me, man. This is, you have to chum it out of him. Okay? You have to chum it out of him. And, but this, so we.
Because I'm not this way in real life. People force me this way. People put me in the position, they force me to be this guy.
It's not who I am.
I want to be nice. I want to be kind.
Yeah.
I want to stay Dr. Jekyll. I don't want to be Mr. Hyde.
Here's another one. Mac, there is more bullshit in the Gunner's boots than on the outside. You know, let me tell you, why do you think that we've all gotten along so well? Right? And don't ever be afraid of letting the truth get in the way of a good story. But here's the deal with Mike, this story. We heard elements of this story, and he was like, while he was on leave, you know? And people coming back saying, holy shit, man. Why are people asking me in Kuwait if I know Chief Warrant Officer Muffleman? Oh, the gunner? Like, oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he was like, he went on a rampage. But he never bends the rules. He never bends the rules.
On my way back, I went right through, man. No problem.
They
got rid of me.
So fast. They had you taken.
Yeah,
They put a GPS on your ass, and you know they were tracking you the whole time you were home. The whole time you were home.
Well, you know, I will say one thing. There was a U.S. major that was our liaison officer when we landed in Dallas.
Yeah.
That was the... That's where all the West Coast guys got off to go catch their flights, right?
Right.
So we landed in Atlanta. In Atlanta, all the East Coast guys got off. And then we flew into Dallas and then DFW. And then there was a major there to meet us to give us the whole. And so I get off the plane first, and I'm walking in, and we see each other. And he looks at me and goes, oh, shit, a Marine gunner. I haven't seen the gunner in a long time. So we talk a little bit. And I said, how long is this going to take? He goes, oh. We got to go through some, I got to give some classes, we got to get some other people, we talk through this, we talk through that, and I'm like, really? And he looks at me and goes, he looks over his shoulder, hey, get out of here, Gunner, have a good week, you know. So I just took off walking, just passed him, and then all the saps came in behind me, and they're like, you know, and I could hear him talking, like, okay, I'm Major such and such, and I'm walking towards my gate. I'm like, I can't put any more up, I can't do this anymore. But he was cool about it.
I don't know if they'd always be the same guy, but I was traveling with, again, stuck in Kuwait forever, and back going on emergency leave, and there was a kid from 2-1 going on emergency leave too. His dad was getting ready to pass, and he had a short connection in Dallas, and I grabbed that major and I said, hey, this kid needs to go. I don't know what you got planned for us, but he ain't playing a part of it. You need to just let him roll. And he's like, all right, good to go, sir. Kid just took off booking.
Yeah, that major in Dallas was a good cat, man.
Yeah.
You know, but most of us had never, the whole Atlanta and Dallas thing, like when you landed in Dallas, did they have the fire truck shooting water and shit?
Yeah. I mean, they had all sorts of weird.
But most of the time, Marines, you know, you were in and out of March, and you never even experienced that. And then
right.
the other thing in Dallas that it honestly is pretty amazing. You know, you're normally with a group unless you're with Mike and he's traveling by himself. But you know, you come around this, and you're the only ones that use this certain ramp, and you're in uniform, and you're walking down, and then people down below they stop, and they start clapping, and you look, and you're like, what are they doing? And all of a sudden it dawns on you, if you've seen it in a commercial or whatnot, they're clapping for you. It's pretty cool because these young, you know, soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen, you know, that have. Are sacrificed, and it's one of the few times when people say, wow, thank you. And so it's almost stunning when you walk in and people are like that, because it doesn't happen as a Marine.
I can't remember. Did we fly all the way home in our cami, or did we change in Dallas? Did we bring some civilian tires
home?
I thought we bought our civilian tires.
You were supposed, they told you to, but most people
changed in Dallas, yeah.
And most people didn't.
Yeah, I think I changed in Dallas because I didn't like that.
Yeah,
I really loved getting rid of that camis, man. It was like, oh, this feels good
to be back.
To be another Joe in the crowd.
Interesting. No, it's a different. That's the whole shit show of going home for, and then you weren't really back until you got to what, Dallas. You were an individual until you got to Dallas, and you got herded into a group, and then you were getting ready to go back. So interesting, yeah. But let me tell you, that's one of the better Musselman adventures that it was the gift that kept giving. It was the whole rank insignia thing. It was it was so good. In fact, if you want to see the pineapple rank insignia. You can, it's on the blog right now. So all you got to do is go to the website, click on blog, and you'll see an entry entitled The Pineapple.
Oh, yeah.
It's up there right now.
Yeah, because I had one of the USO girls when I first met her, Brant Randy, and she saw it. She said that. I was with a bunch of Marines in the little Marine liaison place, and she's sitting on the sofa, and I look at her. She looks at me. She goes, is that a pineapple on your collar? And all the Marines were like, oh, shit. You know, like. But the way she said it, I was kind of like, just kind of looked at her and went, yeah, it's a pineapple.
I can't get mad.
What?
I can't get mad at that.
Yeah. That's Fay Wray. King Kong, man. Fay Wray. King Kong just got chained by the beauty. Yep, that's what happened.
My God. That is too funny. All right. Anything else? Anything else going on? Gunner, what do you got going on today? Yesterday was your kind of recovery day. Mondays for Mike is called retirement recovery day. So when you're like, do yard work and go out to lunch all the time, and then you have a weekend with your wife, and then Monday, right, Mike, you got to recoup, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, today is gun cleaning day.
Wait a minute, but...
18-inch or 22-inch barrel on that 260 Remington?
Oh, I'd go with the 22.
Yeah, I think I will too. 3,400 bones for the full rig.
Yeah, that's nice though. That's a quality piece of gear right there.
And plus optics.
You gotta find that dip holder, man.
I do. I will. We go to Idaho tomorrow.
Let me tell you, that's a business proposition, because I can't believe that. I mean, that's hard for me to believe that that he wouldn't make more of those, because that's a tight piece of equipment, man. That's good to go.
Those guys hooked us up for that deployment too, didn't they, Gunner? They freaking piled on about magazines and
mounts,
yeah.
You know, everything. Yeah, they took care of us.
Wow.
That was pretty sweet. You go down there at all?
Yeah, oh yeah. I talked to him. His daughter, his youngest daughter, is getting ready to go in the Marine Corps for crew training center.
Hooah. Hey, Mike, why don't you get me his number? We'll have him on, and we'll talk about it. We'll bring him on one day.
I'll call him.
Come. Yeah, tell me you wanted to come on, and we want to know why.
He will not answer, like, out of the blue phone number.
Oh, you don't think he'll answer me? All right, I'm calling him then.
No, I know he won't
answer. Okay, we'll see. We'll see if he answers my phone call. And if you'll tell you what, if you call him up and say, hey, this guy's going to call you, don't answer him, because I'm on another one of my I'm on another one of my pineapple power trips. You can go to the website. If you click on blog, you'll see Gunner's rank insignia. So the whole pineapple thing will make sense to you. All right. What about you, little Robbie? Is it a snow day for you? What do you got going? How are the baby calves? You haven't given us a baby calf update. Everybody okay? Everybody doing all right?
I think what I was doing before I rushed back here to get on the phone was I got one calf I can't find, so I'm going to be storming around the hills looking for that one that was born yesterday.
Ooh.
And Mom's not telling me where it is, so that might be a little trouble.
Shit, I don't like those stories. How much snow was that? You said you were getting snow. I was thinking 1 or 2 inches. You got a bunch. How much?
It snowed all freaking day. It was about 6 inches of that really heavy, wet, just roads turned to shit stuff. And we had to rope a 250-pound calf to take to the vet, which was get it in the trailer.
Who was doing that? You and Alicia?
No, God, no. I got a guy that comes out to help. He comes out about once a week, so I kind of scheduled around him being here. And he's a good, he probably weighs in at 250 himself. He's about 6'2 or
he's a big
or
calf.
That.
He's a big calf.
Yeah, so, and that calf jerked him ass over tea kettle. We were skiing behind that thing in the snow for about 10 minutes before we got it latched onto the side-by-side.
And normally, if you like, call little Robbie, like, on the weekend or some crazy time, there's a 50-50 shot. He's talked his wife into helping in one of these, like, endeavors where he thinks that she could do it. And then he winds up yelling at her. It's awesome. It's an interesting little conversation with them both in an $80,000 pickup truck.
No, we've decided that moving cows together is probably not a good idea.
Oh, really?
Now, tagging and vaccinating, we can get through that pretty much unscathed. But moving cows around or trying to get cows that are out back in, that usually turns into somebody's getting yelled at.
Is that so? That's relationship, kind of a relationship advice.
Yeah, we gotta you gotta know where the boundaries are at.
All right, that'll do it, boys.
Looking at the picture. Where's the picture?
The pineapple picture?
Yeah, I want to approve of it first.
Oh, my God.
See what I mean?
You would think a guy, like, understands his lane, okay? One of the problems Mike has in life.
The approval of a gunner to actually post that insignia. It's written in the manual.
Which
manual?
Yeah, the I Love Me manual.
Egocentric.
That's right. It's all about me. No, it's actually the Do You Know Who the Fuck I Am motherfucker manual. That's what manual that one's in.
Last now, guys.
Oh, you posted the dress one,
to
too.
Need my help once you guys get in trouble with
this. Once you offend the Brotherhood of the Pineapple. All right, boys, have a good day. Mike, talk to you on Thursday. Little Robbie, always good to talk to you, bro.
Yep. Bye, man. Bye, Michael.
There you have it. That's right. Look, you can't make that shit up, okay? You can't make that shit up. We'll be right back. You know, I covered a lot of ground there. Email. I'm sitting here at my office desk crying over that shit. You guys started off very seriously talking about genital wounds. And then in parentheses, he writes, I think that's awesome, by the way. My unit had two of those. End of parenthetical, comma. And then you went to, would you intervene? After that, whether Gunner follows the rules or not. And then his trip home on leave from Afghanistan. That was awesome entertainment. Mac, post that. I want to listen again. All right. In the next 30 minutes, it'll be up. Yeah, I've taken to a new way of posting. Because normally I write a little bit. So what I do initially so that these podcasts get up on the website immediately is I just post the express version of Hour 1, more to follow. Max sends. That's naval message format, just for all you people out there. And then later on, I go back in, and I write the appropriate prose that goes with the entry. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I unscrew it. So do you know who I am? That's awesome. Honestly, not too many people roll like that. He's unbelievable. All right, have a great one on a Tuesday. We're gonna your battlefield study, Duffy White tomorrow, Colonel type, United States Marine Corps. Duffy and I crossed paths. I was a captain. He was a big time first lieutenant at the basic school, working up in tactics, and. So we crossed paths there, both worked in the defensive section of tactics. And then after that, we never crossed paths again professionally. But he was a battalion commander of 1st Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion in the march up in 2003, and then was a part of Task Force Tikrit that General Kelly commanded when they said, hey, we're going to Tikrit Marine Corps. You do that shit. Blue Diamond, you do that shit. And so Duffy did that. So we'll talk to him and the battlefield study tomorrow. And then I think on Thursday you're going to hear the audio, Roger Turner, his little Brookings sit down, about an hour. So you'll hear that. And which is, I think, important for a number of different reasons. One is that it kind of explains advising in a little bit different, venue. Okay. Pinellopean. That's right. That's what species Mike comes from. All right. So, with all of that said, on a Tuesday, see, he was so fired up, he forgot to say go Sox. That's how you know he's losing it. A little bit too fired up for his own good. Anyway, again, thoughts and prayers with the people of Toronto after what they went through yesterday. And again, God bless the people at Johns Hopkins for stuff that they did relative to genital replacement surgery. Both the research, this evidently thing has been like 6 years in the making. Surgery on cadavers and before they tried it on somebody new, and which I guess would just be the normal route. But anyway, it's a horrible injury when you're 19, 20 years old. Probably it's a horrible injury anytime, but God bless them for doing that. So with that said, on a Tuesday, All Marine Radio. Out.